Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The battle between freedom and tyranny is the calling of all the faithful in God. The battle lines are not always black and white. Sometimes the battlefield is clear, and at other times there is a dense fog. But be assured, we are in a battle that leads to our freedom and salvation, or tyranny and death. One of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, faced such a battle about 160 years ago. The issue was slavery, and a nation stood in the balance. But through courage and steadfastness, he triumphed and became known as the Great Emancipator. It took faith, trust, toil, and sacrifice to live out the words of our forefathers that declared all men were created equal. But it was clinging to this Declaration of Independence and rediscovering its meaning that changed the fate of a people, a nation, and the world. Abraham Lincoln was not always the great emancipator. In fact, in his early career as a Whig, he was more of a politician than a statesman. He was against slavery, but he was not an abolitionist. He believed the abolitionist groups were just as dangerous as those Southerners who would never give up the institution of slavery. He held the position that his most admired politician, Henry Clay, held at the time. He opposed both extremes on slavery, those who would shiver into fragments the Union and those who would tear to tatters the Constitution in their desire to overthrow slavery immediately. They believed that their forefathers set forth a constitution that allowed the birth of the United States with the view that slavery, over time, would be destroyed. And the government had put forth two measures to stop the expansion of slavery. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787 gave the government sovereignty over the expansion to the West and the admission of new states. And the Missouri Compromise of 1820 limited the spread of slavery north of the 38th degree parallel. But this prudent position would not last forever. Men seeking to maintain their position and expand their authority closed their eyes to what the founders set in motion and embraced the tyranny of slavery over the freedom of all men. This path inevitably led to the bloodiest war that this country has ever seen. Today, we are called again to choose between tyranny and freedom. The issue is not the literal bondage of a class of people. It is our own freedom that we are called to remember, to embrace, and to celebrate. Last Sunday, I spoke about Trinity season being divided into three periods, the first half focusing on the church purging ourselves from sin, the second half on our illumination by the Holy Spirit to obey God, and the final period focuses on our union with God. This Sunday begins the lessons on illumination. The Holy Gospel from St. Luke highlights this critical theme of illumination, having our eyes opened and our hearts willing to obey the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. As Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he laments the future of those Israelites who did not embrace him as their Lord and King. The prophet spoke of a time that God would send a Messiah who would break the shackles of their bondage of sin and death and would redeem the people of God. The question was, would they be ready and willing to see and embrace him? On one hand, Jesus speaks of their unbelief as being hid from their eyes, yet later, he connects their blindness to their activities in the temple. The temple was the sacred house of prayer, where God was to commune with his own people. But the Jews had brought tables inside to buy and sell animals to sacrifice in the temple. They had made his house of prayer a place of commerce. This critique was a critique of the heart of the people of God, who were more concerned about providing sacrifices for a system instead of being truly repentant and open to hear and obey God. And since the leaders were more concerned about maintaining their system and their authority, they were blinded to the coming of the one who came to free them and give them everlasting life. They were going through the motions of faith and found themselves under the wrath of God. And because they were unwilling to see and to turn, God blinded them from being able to see and be saved. Nothing broke the heart of God more than to see his people close their eyes to his saving mission. Jesus knew that their rejection would lead to slavery, to death, and destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple in just 40 years after his ministry. But when people lose sight of God's mission to free and redeem mankind back to himself, tyranny and death are not far behind. When we were baptized into Christ, it was our own personal declaration of independence from slavery to sin and death. And yet we were still instructed that our duty was to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil all of our lives. Our new status as free did not make us free to do whatever we want. But our freedom was for the purpose of transformation into Christ's image, seeking to obey the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is a daily battle. This happens every day at every moment as we make decisions either reflect our new freedom to obey God and to choose the good, or to close our eyes to the Spirit's leading and to lose the battle. Make no mistake, we are in a battle, whether we acknowledge it or not, and the battle is for our souls. We've been declared free through the work of Christ at the cross, and we are called to live into that reality. But when we deny this fact, when we close our eyes to the battle before us and do whatever we want or whatever is expedient at that time, we put ourselves in danger of bondage again, and God forbid, our own destruction. Abraham Lincoln witnessed this firsthand. In 1845, the Wilmot Proviso sought to build upon the founders' measures to stop slavery from advancing by forbidding it in any territory acquired from Mexico, but it was defeated by the Congress. After the war with Mexico, the Compromise of 1850 gave Texas as a slave state, California as a free state, and gave the Utah-New Mexico Territory citizens the right to decide whether they would allow slavery or not. It also amended the Fugitive Slave Act of 1793 to require citizens to assist in recapturing runaway slaves and denying them a jury trial. Senator Salmon Chase of Ohio questioned Stephen Douglas, the author of the bill's interpretation of American history, and declared that the leaders of the revolutionary generation had abhorred slavery, had tolerated it at the price of gaining approval for the Constitution, and by restricting its future growth, had expected it to die out in the second or third generation of the nation. Instead of its gradual demise, these actions pointed more and more to the establishment and entrenchment of the institution. Then in 1854, the Kansas-Nebraska Act allowed again for the citizens to decide if they would allow slavery or not in this vast new territory. What resulted was bloodshed on both sides. Citizens attacked one another over the issue of slavery, leading to murder. The nation was at a crossroads. It could no longer continue on this path. Someone needed to stand and say, slavery is incompatible with who we are as a people. Now, at the time, Lincoln was out of politics, serving as a lawyer in Illinois. He was out of politics, but he was following the situation very closely. And when he re-entered the political arena, he did not do so as a mediating Whig, but as a new Republican abolitionist. The Kansas-Nebraska Act finally awoke Lincoln to those founding principles that the country would have to either fully embrace or suffer its destruction. Lincoln declared, let us re-inaugurate the good old central ideas of the Republic. We shall again be able not to declare that all states as states are equal, nor yet that all citizens as citizens are equal, but to renew the broader, better declaration, including both of these, but much more, that all men are created equal. It was only when Abraham Lincoln recalled and embraced the reality of the freedom that the founders had won that he was willing and able to set forth the same freedoms amongst all the citizens in the country. Today, we are called to recall our own Declaration of Independence. We were emancipated by Jesus Christ from the tyranny of sin and death to the freedom to love and obey and glorify God. At times in our everyday lives, in our everyday battles, in the fog of our own war, we lose sight of what has been accomplished. Today, may our eyes be reopened to recommit ourselves to the fact that we are freed men and women. We have been freed by our faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He freed us for the purpose of transforming us into free sons and daughters of God. May God help us to live into that reality this week. And may He give us grace to share that light with our family, with our friends, and co-workers, that we might spread the good news of Christ's declaration of salvation to all. Now let's remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "More blessed to give than to receive."